Acts 15:12. Then all the multitude kept silent. They were busy scratching their chin. Kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Now, we've been talking about these things over the last several weeks. We saw all kinds of awesome miracles and wonders. When Paul and Barnabas went to Antioch of Pisidia, all these names, and they encountered this sorcerer, a guy named Simon Bar-Jesus, of all names. And this dude was steeped in occult and in the dark arts and everything, and he was whispering in the ear of the governor of the land, Sergius Paulus, and trying to keep him away from Christ. And Paul just up and said to him, that rebuked him in the spirit and said, "You're going to be blind for a season." And all of a sudden, the guy went blind and needed somebody to lead him around by the hand. That was pretty miraculous. And Sergius Paulus got saved. He was a Gentile. They moved on to another city. They started doing signs and wonders. When the Jews would ever come and argue with them, they decided they needed to hang around for a while. And as they were doing it, God was proving them by signs and wonders. They moved on to another city, and there was a lame guy there. He had never walked in his entire life. You probably remember this. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell on that guy. The guy got healed, starts leaping and walking and running around, and the entire city was so blown away by that, they thought that Barnabas and Paul were Zeus and Hermes. They started bringing cattle down the road, trying to sacrifice to them. And they're like, "Dude, don't do that. We're just men." And then finally, Paul himself, not long after that, gets stoned and left for dead. They throw rocks and beat him upside the head with rocks, leaves him for dead outside the city gate, and God raises him up. And they were enthralling these people with all these things that God was doing among the Gentiles, doing among uncircumcised people. And all the Pharisees that were sitting there, they couldn't produce any miracles. They hadn't seen any of that. And Paul was basically saying, "Hey, look, if you're right and we're wrong, show us by the signs and wonders. What has God done through you lately?" "Well, my aunt had a cold and it went away." These miracles, these signs and wonders prove that salvation is by grace. God would not be blessing these guys right and left if they were enemies of God. He had apparently received them pretty well because he was blessing their socks off. If I get up here and Leomar's, falling out on the floor because she's having a heart attack or something, and I say, "Leomar, be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus," and suddenly her heart comes to proper rhythm and she gets up and she's strong and everything, I think people would say that God's grace was with us, don't you? Praise God. That was his argument. And those miracles were still going on. He said, when he wrote to the Galatians, he said, "Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by the healing of faith?" So even while he was away, the Spirit was still doing miracles in their midst. Praise God. So, baptism in the Holy Spirit proves that salvation is by grace. Those guys didn't do anything to deserve the Holy Spirit. The signs and wonders and miracles proves that it's by grace because those guys didn't do anything to deserve miracles or signs and wonders. And finally, the final speaker, James, gets up and he's kind of had an attitude adjustment at this point. He says, his bottom line is this. He says, the prophecies of the Holy Spirit show that salvation is by grace. Who can tell me what we're going to be doing, exactly what you're going to be doing, 3 hours and 10 minutes from now? Can you? What are you going to be doing in the softball? Are you going to be 3 hours and 10 minutes from now? Are you going to be at the plate or in the field or on the bench?
On
the bench. Okay, well, scrap that illustration. The truth is, as much as we would like to, none of us can predict the future. If it seems to me God goes out of his way to disprove me sometimes. But I say, tomorrow, no matter what's going to happen, I will do this. I don't know how many of you guys ever went to work and said, I am so backed up on this one project, no matter what I do, I am going to get this thing done. Everything else can basically go to the pit, but I am going to accomplish this one thing today. And I'm getting some smiles over there. And by the end of the day, you have not touched it. Anybody ever have that experience? Isn't that frustrating? Arrgh! And yet you were as certain as the day is long. If you could prophesy, you would have done it. That by the end of the day on work that day, that thing would be done. And you haven't even opened it up. I have seen that happen so many times that I don't even do it anymore. All I do is come to work and say, "God, it sure would be nice if I could get that done. But help. We can't predict the future. We don't know what a day will bring. And yet, James comes along and he says this, Acts 15:13. After they become silent, James answered and said, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon declared how God at the first visit of the Gentiles, take out a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it's written." And he talks about this prophecy of what would happen in Amos, the book of Amos. He quotes it. He says, "After this, I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I'll rebuild its ruins. I'll set it up so that the rest of mankind," in other words, all the people who are not Jews, "so the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things." So if Amos prophesied and said that one day God was going to open the door wide open and all the Gentiles were going to get saved, how could that ever happen unless they stayed Gentiles? If they all became Jews, this would never take place. The prophecy would never be fulfilled. But before our very eyes, God is fulfilling his own prophecy. He's fulfilling his word, and we are witnessing a miracle that these Gentiles, uncircumcised Gentiles, are coming into the kingdom. And so basically at that point, he doesn't take a vote. He doesn't sit around and say, "Okay, guys, we're going to take a vote. How many of you think that the believers ought to be circumcised?" He just makes a leadership decision. He was the head of the church. He said, here's what it is. Verse 18, "Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God." And it's been said that if he had taken a vote, he might have lost. But he knew he had the Holy Spirit. He knew what God was doing. And so he stands up and he says, "Look, you don't ever have to be in bondage to these things. You don't ever have to run around paralyzed by fear that God has not accepted you. You never have to be afraid that if you were to die unexpectedly today, you wouldn't know what your eternity would be. You can stand in faith that Christ and his grace are enough." Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that Jesus is enough? That we don't have to run around here trying to earn something. We don't have to go knocking on doors. We don't have to make some trip to Mecca. You know, we don't have to follow this principle and that principle in hopes that someday, maybe, possibly, if we're lucky, we might somehow maybe make it in. Aren't you glad your name is written in the book of life? Fred Selb woke up the other morning, and we need to pray for him. He has asked for our prayers. He woke up the other morning and could not breathe. How many of you know that if you don't breathe, you'll die? Yeah. So that was scary, because when he woke up, he couldn't breathe. Barely could get a breath. Went to the hospital. They looked at him. They said, "Not here, buddy." And they flew him out to Washington Hospital Center. They said, "You've got serious problems. We got to deal with this." And he got out to Washington Hospital Center. He said it was scary because people stopped what they were doing when they saw him. He looked that bad. They literally pushed people out of the way to get that gurney with him on it through the doors to the place where he needed to be. And what had happened was his arteries were beautiful, but he had a failed valve in his heart. This valve in his heart was only pushing through 50% of the blood, and his lungs were filling up with fluid, and he was about to die. Now, it didn't take much. They had to go in. They had to crack open his sternum and operate. They fixed the valve. They didn't have to replace it or anything. The operation was a huge success. And they told him, "You have the arteries of a four-year-old, man. There's nothing in there. There's no cholesterol, no plaque. They're wide open. They're gorgeous. They're beautiful. But you almost checked out, buddy, because your heart valve was bad." And he says he's recovering. The surgery was successful. But all the anesthesia they gave him, he's still feeling a little kind of, you know, not good. So please pray for him. So we'll have to be sure to do that. But you know what? Fred didn't know. That morning when he woke up, that may have been his final day on this earth. And instead of having, you know, simply softball after the service, we might be going to a funeral otherwise. And we don't know when our day will come. Isn't it awesome to know that you don't have to fear when that day does come? That Christ is sufficient. His grace is enough. You don't need Christ plus this or Christ plus that or Christ plus the other thing. When you have Christ, you've got it all. You are complete in him. Isn't it good to be whole? To be complete. Praise God. So don't be afraid. And don't let anybody ever tell you that Christ is not enough. Don't let them ever say, well, you got to do this too. Our salvation is a gift from God. It's free. And you can live without fear. You can live without anxiety. You can just step out of here with joy because God has given us the victory. We are free. We are saved in Christ. Praise God. Now, that raises a lot of questions. What if I sin? What about that? If I'm not under the law of Moses, how do I know what's right and wrong? How do I know that I'm allowed to do this and I'm not allowed to do that? And if I do that when I should have been doing this, what happens then? A lot of good questions. We're going to talk about those next week. Because I've been blabbing enough already as it is. But we want to celebrate that. If we could have the worship team up here, we want to do that Chris Tomlin song. We just want to celebrate that God's grace is enough. It is sufficient. It is overflowingly, abundantly, more than sufficient. And I just pray that you would apply that to every area of your life. Whatever your need is, know that in Christ, His grace is sufficient for you. And He has your life in His hands. He has you under His control. You don't have to climb to the top of some mountain and meditate for 20 years in hopes that God is going to make your life work out well. He is working all things together for your good and His glory through Jesus Christ. Praise God.